the weekly podcast from the First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you've decided to join us, and we hope you enjoy this week's message.
Good morning. It's good to see all of you here this morning. Yesterday we had the Walk for Life, and we had a great turnout. We raised over $20,000. So thank God. Yes, it was a wonderful day. Yes, we had, it was a really good time. I thank everybody who participated in it. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we can come together in this church to worship you, sing our praises to you, and glorify your name. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of life, and we will always protect it. Heavenly Father, I ask you to be with everybody here today and to be with the message, and we can bring somebody closer to your Son, Jesus Christ. It's his precious name I pray. Amen. How many opportunities do we miss to become an encourager? Do we find that it's easier to sit back and let someone else do the encouraging? Or are we the type of person who just looks for an opening so that we can lift someone up, help them through a time of crisis, or just let them know we are here for them? Or do we find it easier just to come to church on Sunday morning, be served communion, put our offering in the plate, listen to the day's sermon, and go home feeling very spiritual about ourselves until next Sunday? Monday through Friday of each week is filled with opportunities to encourage. All one must do is be watchful. Do we miss opportunities throughout the week to tell someone about Jesus? If someone at the hospital, for example, were to ask you to pray with them or for a family member, would you be willing? Think of the ways to become an encourager. I think of an encourager as someone who is compassionate, one who sends cards and letters, one who phones a friend just to be sure they're okay, a visit to the hospital, stopping by the home of someone who lives alone, someone who is lonely that sometimes just needs the human touch, one who takes time to hold the hand of someone in a time of trial, just to say, I'm here for you, one who says, let me tell you about Jesus, the one who gives of himself. Are you someone approachable in spiritual matters? Do your words and actions tell others that you are a follower of Jesus Christ? Remember, you may be the closest thing to Christ's teaching that someone may ever see. We must all be encouragers, but we must also keep a balance in our lives so that we don't go down with those we are trying to encourage. Stay focused. Christ first, last, and always. God gives us the endurance to withstand the stressful situations we face at times, but he also gives us hope in our walk as a Christian. Remember that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Hebrews 3:13 says, but encourage one another daily, as long as that is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Let's go to God in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning in remembrance of the ultimate sacrifice your Son, Jesus Christ, made for us on that cross at Calvary. Heavenly Father, as we take this bread and the juice, to remember the sacrifice he made for us. Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing upon this bread and juice. I ask you all these things in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. I wanted to stop up here and tell you all about an event we have coming up at the end of the month. Most of you are familiar with it. It's the Trunk or Treat event. So if you would be willing to bring out your vehicle, pop open the trunk, throw a bunch of candy in it, and be available for that, that would be awesome. It is the 30th of this month, which is a Saturday, from 3 to 4. And I also need a bunch of folks to bring candy to fill up said trunks. So if you aren't interested in bringing your vehicle or opening your trunk up, bring a bunch of candy for those of us that are going to do it, okay? That's all I had for you, and I'll get out of your way and let Chad run with it. Thank you all very much. Good to see you.
Good morning, everybody. How are you guys? Well, just a quick update on me, obviously, and my family. I appreciate all your prayers. Obviously, you can hear I'm probably 90% better. You might be able to actually understand the higher tones in my voice, which I didn't have last week. But please continue to pray for Reese. He now has some sort of rash from ear to knee. He goes to the doctor tomorrow, so we'll hopefully figure out what that is and hopefully get that taken care of. And also, I want to echo what Ryan said about trunk or treat. For those that were here, there were some really creative ways to help pass out the candy with this COVID and everything that's going on. Some people were sitting up in the back of their truck and they had tubes and they were shooting it down. And, you know, they come up with all sort of creative ways. If you're thinking COVID, I don't want to be that close to people. You know, there are other options out there. Pinterest has a lot of great ideas. I'm sure a lot of those other places do. We have some very creative minds here as well. If you want to do something like that, you want to get involved, but you're kind of afraid of how COVID's going to work with all that, the event's going forward. It's happening. So we'd love to see the parking lot out there filled with trunks, and we would love to see some of those creative ideas also. So I thought some are really genius. One of them happened to be my father-in-law, but I won't say that out loud to him, so let's just keep that between us. Let's go over a couple things in the bulletin real quick before we get moving. I have a really cool announcement, guys. This coming Wednesday, Pino's going to be here. Anybody that knows Pino, he's from Italy. He's from, I think I'm saying it right. Pino will probably tell me I say it wrong, but it's the Lecce Christian Mission. He's going to give information about give us an update on his mission from Italy. The reason this is cool is, one, if you know Pino, super cool dude. Love this guy. The other thing is, though, he had such a hard time getting here with the visa and COVID and everything and how all that worked. He worked so hard and everybody around him worked so hard. He's super excited. And as you guys know, financially as missions, we support him. But that's not all. We need people here Wednesday. So if you are able to, please, 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 can you clear out your schedule and show up on Wednesday evening? If you're not familiar, starts at 7 o'clock. We need to show people support. Pino needs to see that we love him and that we support him as well. You guys, you know, we sometimes think the money's what's good, but no, you know, if you know anything about Pino, he's a people person. He loves to see faces, loves to see that. So if you're available Wednesday evening, this coming Wednesday evening, please show up and please have, you know, those big smiles. And, you know, I know that he's super excited to be here. He's glad the visa and everything happened and went through. Also wanted to pull your attention, in the October 31st and November 7th, we're going to do the food portion of Social Concerns. This is where we're going to do non-perishable food items and paper products, so just notate that date in there. Also want to give out congratulations to Aaron and Misty Allison. They're regular second service attenders, but a lot of people know them. They had the birth of their daughter. This is their first daughter, second child, Audrey Kendall. She was born October 6th. She was 8 pounds, 12 ounces, 21 inches. And there's a great picture on one of them social media things of Blake, their son, holding the baby. So if you guys are on there, find that was on from Misty. Go find Misty and follow her, and you can see that awesome picture there. So, also, happy birthday, happy anniversary to those that are in there. And also keep in mind all of our prayer requests that are out there. I have a prayer request here for the family of Natalie Rose Dillon. If you know Natalie Rose Dillon, passed away on 10-6, but she left behind a daughter, Kylie Rose. So please keep that the Rose family in your prayers. That's always a hard, difficult time. As you guys know, I've also lost a parent, and I know that's rough. So please, please just keep, especially Kylie in your prayer, but the whole family, as they're going to need our support and prayer the best that we possibly can give to them. Well, before we get started with our last and final sermon, let's go ahead and go to God in silent prayer. Amen. So as we come to the conclusion of this series, the AHA series, we're talking about the third and final step as it goes into the AHA, which is, again, AHA, AHA, if you haven't been here before, but there's also, it's an acronym for Awakening, Honesty, and Action. This is obviously, this isn't where Kyle finishes the book. This is not the last chapter in his book. So if you want to see where he goes from there, again, this is out of the AHA series from Kyle Eidelman. So go ahead and pick up that book or, get it from the library or whatever. And, finish reading, see what he has to say about it. But this is where we're going to end the sermon series, is with this immediate action, talking about what that is today. So you guys know that with the AHA, we've been studying the parable of the prodigal son. This is in Luke 15. And when we saw the prodigal son last, he was feeding pigs. He was so hungry that he even wanted to eat the pig slop. But he had to be brutally honest, which was our last one about our son, that we talked about. He had to be brutally honest about his situation. He had to realize that until he admitted that something was wrong, he couldn't do anything about it. So far in the story, we've seen two of the three crucial ingredients of AHA. We have the sudden awakening. We have the brutal honesty, and that's all great, but what's next? What's the action plan? Because without action, you guys know that, we just get stale, we get stagnant, we don't move. And so what's the action plan that we're going to put in place? Because that will determine the difference between a sad story and an AHA story. So let's pick up the story in Luke 15:17. It says, when he came to his senses, and I know that we went over this, but this is just a refresher. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. How will I set out and go back to the father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and he went to his father. See, he had a sudden awakening. He came to his senses. He had to be brutally honest with himself about the consequences that he deserved. And now, if we really want to get this true AHA experience, now for him, he has to act. He has to do something, because unless you act, you won't have AHA. Unless you act, it's just really an emotional roller coaster to that point. It's kind of like this. Does anybody use a Groupon? You guys ever heard of Groupon? So if you use Groupon, here's how it works if you don't know. So you sign up for Groupon. It's a website. I think it's Groupon.com, isn't it? I don't know. Somebody use it. And you sign up and you get an email every day with a new deal. And you have to buy the coupon from this website and it can save you a lot of money. And every once in a while, there's something worth your time and you can save a ton of money on stuff like restaurants, vacations, jewelry, all sorts of stuff. But the thing is that when you get this email, if you see some great deal and get really excited about it and you really, really want to buy it, you have to buy it then. The next day, the deal's over. You just can't see it, want it, realize it's a great deal, and then close the email and hope that you magically end up with more money in your wallet the next day. You have to do something. Unless you act, you won't have the aha. It's just like that. You have to take that moment right then, right there. We can't get to brutal honesty and say, okay, I'm tired. I can't go on right now. I'm going to have to take a timeout. No, we have to put action to it. And I think this can be the hardest of the three ingredients of AHA to get. Now, we talked last week, it's really hard to be brutally honest with yourself. It's really hard to be brutally honest with others. It's one of the most difficult things in the world to do. But translating what we've got to that part into action, it's hard. Like when you look down on the morning after Thanksgiving and you see the number on the scale. You know you don't like it, but it takes people until New Year's to even make a resolution to do something about it. And even then, once they start the New Year's resolution, they say the New Year's resolution lasts till January 20th if you're lucky. So it doesn't last because they don't do anything honestly about it. So this can be the hardest part of AHA. But the prodigal son in Luke 15, he realizes that he can't stay where he is. And in Luke 15:20 says, he got up. This is actually just one Greek word. And that what's interesting is that it's in the same Greek word that we also translate kind of like resurrection. It literally just means get up. But I wonder if when Jesus was telling this story, he had maybe just a little bit more in mind. See, the prodigal son didn't just stand up and start walking. He got up. He got up out of something out of something bigger than just a pig pen. He got up and he started a whole new life. It wasn't just a circumstance he changed. It was everything he changed. Getting up can change everything. Getting up can be the difference between divorce and mending your marriage. Getting up can be the difference between struggling with an ongoing addiction and freedom. Getting up is the difference between giving in to peer pressure and staying from that stuff you swore you'd never get into. Getting up can be the difference between continuing to feel alone and forgiving that grudge that you've held on to for far too long. So my question is this: what does it take then to get up? Because unless you act, we won't have aha. See, I think in order to get up, you have to know three things. First, you have to know where you are. Just like the son had to be brutally honest about his situation, he has to understand that staying there is unacceptable. See, we have to get to that point. It was fun maybe for a little bit, but we can't stay here. It's a pig pen. This is slop. Aha takes an understanding of what life can be. Aha takes an understanding of the power of God. Because if you don't know or you don't believe that God truly has something better for your life than sitting in a pig pen, why would you get up? Might as well just stay there. It's comfortable. It's warm. It's got to feel uncomfortable. We have to know it's time to move. You know, when you're a kid, when your kid's a senior in high school, they would do just about anything to get out of the house, get out of high school, and go off to college. Why is that? Because they know, no matter how good it might have been at home for the past 18 years, with everything provided for them, home-cooked meals, parents doing the laundry, they know that it's just time to leave. They can't always say why. They can't define that yet, but they just know. There's something in them that just says, being here is not okay anymore. I have to get out. And that's what it takes to get up. You have to go to beyond honesty. Here I am starving to death, and realize that you don't have to starve to death anymore. When you know where you are and you know that you don't have to stay there, it makes it possible to take that first get up step. The second thing you have to know is where you're going. And here's what I'm not saying. You know, I'm not saying that once we get up and we take that first step that we have to have all the answers. We won't have all the answers. But I am saying that when you know which direction you're going, it does make those steps a whole lot easier. When the prodigal son got up, he knew where he was going. He says it, back to my father's house. You know, I doubt he knew exactly how long that journey would take him. I doubt he knew exactly what he was going to do for food, water. Remember, he's broke. He's in a pig pen. He didn't know what he was going to do for shelter along the way while he was traveling, but he knew that he had to get back to the house. He didn't know how the place might have changed. He didn't know if his older brother would ever speak to him again. He didn't know exactly what his new way of life would even be like. But he knew it would be better than his current situation. So he got up. When you have an aha moment, rarely, if ever, will God let you know exactly what's going on from there. This is a faith-building exercise. We just have to move. But if you know where you're going, and if you know that God, or what God has in store for you, will be better than where you've been, you can get up. It might not be easy. It might be the hardest thing that you've ever done. You might get up, and just by getting up, you feel winded. But when God gives you an aha moment, he just wants you to come back home. It might mean saying, I don't know if I'll fit in right away at church, but I know I need to go. It might mean saying, I might lose all my friends if I quit partying, but I know I don't want to live that life anymore. It might mean saying, I don't know if she will ever forgive me, but I know the Bible says I have to be honest. It might mean saying, forgiving my mom or dad might be the hardest thing I've ever done, but I know that I need to forgive others the way that Jesus forgives me. See, when you can see past the present into the future God has for you, it makes immediate action possible. And when you know where you're going, when you know that end goal, it makes it possible to get up. Third, you have to know who's waiting for you. Look back at Luke 15:20. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father Solomon was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine, he was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Now this son would obviously have known his father, but there is no way he could have ever expected that. Where's his father's anger at? Where is the son's punishment for everything that just happened? There's none of that. There is only celebration in this story. Even before the son got all the way there, the father was running out to greet him. And you have to understand, this wasn't normal. See, in order for him to run, he would have had to have hiked up his garment, or else they would have been dragging along with him. And for a father, a grown man, to do that, especially for a son so disrespectful in this day and age, it would have been so unheard of. This would have been complete indignity for the father. But he throws away all those social customs and taboos out the window. He doesn't care. He runs to hug his son. No one listening to Jesus could have predicted this was part of the story. And that's exactly why Jesus told the story. Now we can predict it. Now we know who's waiting for us. Jesus tells us about a father who waits patiently, eager for us to return to him. Jesus tells us about a father who would do anything to see us back in his house. Jesus tells us about a father who would suffer unimaginably while he waits for his children to come home. And so now we know who's waiting for us. See, aha begins with us, but it ends with God. When we take our life, our money, and go off to the distant country, God lets us go. He lets us make the decision to leave. He lets us make the decision to abandon our family, to treat people unfairly, to throw our lives away to sin, and to pursue our own selfish desires, to try to fill up the emptiness in our lives with alcohol or drugs or porn or anger or work or sports or TV or video games. See, it starts with us. But when we say, "I've had enough, I don't want to starve to death anymore, I don't have to starve to death anymore, I'm going home," then it all ends with God running out with open arms to meet us. And that's what it takes to get up. No matter how far off the distant country was, God sits on the front porch. He's staring off in the distance. He's waiting. He doesn't give up. He doesn't get tired of waiting. He doesn't go inside. He waits. And when you move beyond a sudden awakening, beyond brutal honesty, and you go home, he runs to meet you. And when you know who's waiting for you, it makes it possible to get up. It makes it possible to take immediate action. Guys, I'm not going to lie. This is hard, complicated work, but it is made possible by our Heavenly Father. And at any of the points along the plot of an aha story, it's easy to get stuck. A lot of people have had a sudden awakening. Fewer people are brutally honest about it. And even fewer people take immediate action. See, when the Holy Spirit leads us on the path of aha, not every story ends back at the Father's house. So my question for us this morning is, how is your aha story going to end? You have to hear the alarm. Wake up before you can start the day. But what if your aha story ends here? You may have an aha moment, but it will only last a moment. You know you've been there before. It suddenly hits you that you're on the road towards unfaithfulness in your marriage, but then you justify your actions instead of being honest about them. It suddenly hits you that you're living the kind of life you never thought you would live, but then you brush it off as just religious guilt instead of being honest about the depth of your own despair. It suddenly hits you that your life is taking place in a pig pen. And it doesn't have to be this way anymore, but then you talk yourself out of it with lies about how it's too late for you. Having a sudden awakening does not write an aha story. God wants to wake you up, but he doesn't want your story to end there. Some of you will move from the sudden awakening to the next phase of the aha story, brutal honesty. And brutal honesty is a great place to be. You've come to grips with where you've been and what you've done. You've confessed your sin to yourself and to those you hurt. You've woken up, let God speak truth to you, and you've been truthful about it. Your honesty has broken your heart. But what if your aha story ends here? You wake up and you go through the painful freedom of confession. You are honest about yourself and your sin. But what if the story just ends with this confession? You walk away feeling a little better for just a little bit of time. But your aha story only has a couple chapters. It's incomplete. A story that ends in honesty doesn't make any change. It just puts a spiritual band-aid on the whole problem. And if you want that the wound to heal, you need to take the next step. And what if your aha story moves beyond a powerful moment of awakening, and it moves beyond your willingness to open up and be honest, and you change? What if, like the prodigal son, you get up and go back to your father? You take the hard steps towards change, and you know your life will never be the same. Maybe the hardest step you ever took is the first step on your way back home, but now that you've taken that first step, the rest get easier. You can see God's fingerprints on the whole process, and you know that the Holy Spirit guided you and gave you the power to take each step you took. Now that sounds like aha to me. But what if your aha story ends here? You have moved beyond a simple recognition of a problem, and you have surrendered that part of your life to God. You experience freedom for the first time in years. Your relationships are healthier for the first time in your entire life. You start to grow in the Word of God more than you have ever done before. Does your aha story end here? No. See, Luke 15 would tell us that there's still more to the story. See, I think there's a final chapter to your aha story if you let God write it. Look at Luke 15:22. But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. They began to celebrate. See, I have good news for you. Your aha story doesn't have to end in an awakening. It doesn't have to end in brutal, painful honesty. It doesn't have to end in taking that first step into the new life God has for you. God wants to write the last chapter of your aha story. And he wants to call it celebration. See, the story doesn't end with you. It ends with God. It ends with God. When God writes an aha story, life gets back to the way that it started, with the Father. See, Luke 15:7 says, "I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." Luke 15:10 says, "In the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." See, God is a celebrating God. And he wants to celebrate every single return of every single child. He never gets tired of seeking the dark figures of his children approaching from a distance. He never gets tired of running out past the front porch. He never gets tired of welcoming home the ones that were lost but are now found. And if you look closely, you just might see him running out to meet you. So with all that being said during this series, everything that we've talked about, I guess there's still one last question we have to ask. And that is, will you join the celebration? And the most dangerous thing you could say today is this: I don't need aha. Let's take one last look back at Luke 15. Let's go to verses 25 through 32. It says, meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, what was going on? Your brother has come back, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has been has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him? My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. See, there's more than one kind of aha story that God wants to write. And this is where we'll close out this series today. See, some people in the church need to experience aha. We don't know this celebrating God. You don't know what it's like to live in His house, and you need aha for the first time. You need to experience our God like you've never done before. But there are some people in the church who need to remember that very first aha moment that you ever had with God. Do you remember what it was like when God woke you up? Do you remember what it was like to realize that you needed to go back to the Father's house? Because the celebration, it never ends. God keeps writing aha stories, and God's people keep celebrating aha stories. And if you're one of those who knows about aha and is wary of celebrating with the younger brother, let me tell you two things. One, remember what it was like when you first realized Jesus loved you. Never forget that. And two, I think we all need to take a good long look in the mirror and ask God to show us those areas where we started to wander off into the distant country of our own. See, we're all in this together. That's what church is about. We are all praying for aha, longing for aha. We want to come to our senses. We want to be honest with ourselves about ourselves and to get up out of the pig pen and run to the Father's house where we know He's waiting. And He has been for a while. So what is your story? Where will your story end? I invite you to join in the celebration today, whether it's a first celebration, need to come to know Jesus, want to talk about that. Whether it's a celebration of baptism here today or just a renewal of your commitment to your Heavenly Father, maybe saying, Father, I found that distant country and I've been blinded. Now I see. I'm coming home. We're going to sing an invitation song. And if you guys want to join the celebrating God with me, come forward. Let's talk about that. Let's get on the straight path together today.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to join us in person, we meet on Sundays at 8:45 and 11 a.m. and on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Have a great week.